Okay, fine. So, fine. So tonight's going to be our last chabura on Malachas Kosher and Matir, last chabura of the Perek Vilik Sharm, and might be our last chabura on the Malachas of Shabbos. We'll see. So there's no chabura next week, and then after we'll resume after Sukkot. After Sukkot, I think we're probably going to be doing the Kolam for 2 months or so, and then we'll reconvene after that for what's going to be the post-Kolam Limud, but it was basically a unanimous vote to do the Kolam after Shabbos, after Sukkot, so that's going to be the Limud and Mirtz Hashem after Sukkot. I'll send that an email with more details. Fine. Okay, so tonight, we're going to be doing the Malach of Matir, it's a one-week sugya. We've been focusing on kosher, and now we're going to just move over to Matir for tonight to basically end the discussion of kosher and matir. Matir, we know, is the melacha of untying. Now, the truth is that there's not much to discuss with matir that's not the same as kosher, because for the most part, matir is just the inverse of kosher and have all the same basic rules. For example, if you look at the first Mishnah on Kuf Yad Aleph Amud Beis, so the Mishnah there in the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Zayin points out that if you remember with Malachas Kosher, we had three levels of knots. Some knots you can't make with the Raisa, some you can't make with the Rabbanan, some are Mutter. So Matir has the exact same regulations. Those which you can't tie with the Raisa cannot be untied with the Raisa. Those which are can't be tied with the Rabbanan can't be untied with the Rabbanan. And that which is Mutter to tie is perfectly Mutter to be untied. So for the most part, Malachas Matir goes hand in hand with Malachas Kosher. And that's why there's not too much to discuss. But there is one major topic that does need to be addressed, and that's going to be the front of today's shir. Tosfos and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph raises the following issue. The question is as follows. For those who may remember the past, we've had an ongoing issue with a number of the Malachos, which is the issue of Almanas. The Mishnah and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, when it lists the 39 Malachos, a few of the Malachos are listed in a very unique manner, where the Mishnah lists the Malacha together with the purpose of the Malacha. As opposed to most of the malachas, which are just one-word malachas, borer, tochein, you know, ofeg, etc., when it comes to the malacha of mochek, let's say, the Mishnah presents it as mochek almanas lechtov, erasing for the sake of writing. Or with malach of korea, it was presented as korea almanas litfor, tearing for the sake of sewing. And so when we had those malachas a few months ago, we had raised the issue as to if the Mishnah is dafka, or is it lav dafka? Are these malachos limited to a scenario of almanas where you dafka have to erase for the sake of writing to be chayiv? You dafka have to tear for the sake of re-sewing to be chayiv? Or perhaps the Mishnah is lav dafka. Maybe any productive activity of erasing, any productive activity of tearing is going to be chayiv. And the Mishnah was just presenting the av malacha in its original form in the Mishkan. They happen to have erased to rewrite. They tore to re-sew. So that's why the Mishnah presented it in that manner. But it doesn't mean to say that that's the only way you can violate these malachos. That was an ongoing issue we had with a few malachos in the Mishnah. And so Tosfos now poses the same shaila with respect to the malacha of matir. The question becomes, the malacha of untying, should we say, asks Tosfos, that malachas matir also should be limited to a scenario where you untie for the sake of tying, where you untie your shoelaces in order to retie them better? Should we limit malachas matir to matir almanas likshor, or perhaps no, and maybe any productive activity of untying is subject to malachas matir? That's the question that Tosfos poses. Now, Tosfos points out that at first glance, there's a glaring diuk that can be made in the Mishnah, because when the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph gives us its list of 39 malachos, with the malachas of mochek and korea, the Mishnah presents them as almanas. It says erasing almanas to write, and Korea almanas to sew. It presents the almanas in the Mishnah. But by Malachas Matir, the Mishnah isn't presented as Matir almanas likshor. It just says Matir. So at first glance, there's an obvious diuk in the Mishnah to debunk the possibility that you need to dafka untie for the sake of retying, because the Mishnah didn't list it that way. So Tosfos makes this observation, but Tosfos says that it's not a good diuk. You can't decide the shaila and Tosfos based on making this diuk in the Mishnah, because there's another malacha in the Mishnah that needs to be done almanas, that you need to do for a certain specific purpose, yet the Mishnah left it out. The Mishnah didn't present the almanas in presenting this malacha. Which malacha is that? Says Tosfos, the malacha of Soser. Soser is the inverse of the malacha of bone. Bone is the malacha of building. Soser is the malacha of demolishing. Says Tosus, it's clear from Gemara on Lamed Aleph that the malacha of Soser needs to be done for the sake of rebuilding. You need Soser almanas livnos. If you knock down a building, you're only going to be chayiv if you plan on rebuilding it. But if you knock it down for any other reason, says Tosus, you're not going to be chayiv. Yet despite the fact that malacha Soser needs to be done almanas, the Tosus observes the Mishnah leaves it out. The Mishnah does not present the malacha of Soser as Soser almanas. Rather, the Mishnah just presents the malacha of Soser as Soser. So Tosus says, you see that the Mishnah did not give a comprehensive list, that although there are some malachas that need to be done almanas, a specific purpose, but for whatever reason, the Mishnah didn't give a comprehensive list, as is evidenced by Soser. So don't bring me a diuk that the fact that Matir wasn't presented as Matir almanas likshor, that you don't need almanas likshor, says Tosus. Maybe you do need almanas likshor. It's still fair game to argue that you do, despite the fact that it is omitted, as is evidenced by Soser. So that is Tosus' Shaila with respect to Malachas Matir. You need to dafka untie for the sake of tying. And Tosus makes the observation, don't bring me a ride from the Mishnah, because it's not a comprehensive list. Fine. So the question is, what is the answer? What is the resolution to the Shaila? Do we need Matir Almanas Likshor? Do we not need Matir Almanas Likshor? So Tosus says that this is going to depend on Machlokas Rishonim, revolving around the Gemara on Ayin Dalad Amabeis. So we're going to move over now to the Gemara on Ayin Dalad Amabeis for a few moments and learn it up with Rashi and Rabbi Hananel and develop a Machlokas Rishonim on this issue of if we need to dafka untie for the sake of retying to be chayiv. The Gemara on Ayin Dalad Amabeis is discussing the source for the malachas of kosher and matir in the Mishkan. The question is, where did these malachos take place in the Mishkan? And the Gemara has a good few lines going back and forth on this issue. So we're going to focus in on a back and forth between Abaye and Rava. Abaye proposes the following source for the malacha of kosher. Says Abaye, that maybe it took place with respect to the Urios. The Urios were the cloth coverings that cover the Mishkan. Says Abaye, that it was possible that when they were weaving and constructing these Urios, that one of the strings would snap, and it was necessary to tie the end of the string, so you don't have a hanging thread. And so therefore, that's where we find the malacha of kosher, of tying a knot, in the Mishkan. That is Abaye's suggestion for the Makor for malachas kosher. However, comes along Rava, and Rava argues on Abaye. Rava says that that's not a sufficient Makor for malachas kosher and matir in the Mishkan, because while it may be true that this would be a good source for malachas kosher, we see tying with respect to the Urios, but we also need a Makor for malachas matir. We need to find untying also in the Mishkan. And you've not given me a source for the malacha of matir. So that is Rava's argument on Abaye. But then Rava proposes a defense for Abaye. Rava suggests that maybe we can defend the shita of Abaye as follows. That maybe we can find malachas matir with respect to the Urios. Now, Rava says something that's going to be a little bit cryptic. So let's just say the words of Rava, and then we'll get to the machlokas Rishon how to interpret what Rava meant to say. Rava says like this, that maybe the malach of matir took place in a scenario where they were constructing the Urios, and maybe there would be two knots that would form in close proximity to one another. Maybe one string would snap and they tie a knot, and a second string would snap and they tie a knot. And then they take a step back and they realize that they're two knots in close proximity, where they would decide to engage in the malacha of matir to untie in order to make the Mishkan look nicer. So that is Rava's proposal to defend the shita of Abaye, that we can find matir also with regard to the creation of the Urios and the Mishkan. But Rava goes on to reject this for certain reasons, which we're not going to get into. What we're going to be focusing on is this proposal of Rava to defend Abaye, that the malach of matri took place with respect to the Urios when they would untie these knots that formed in the Urios. That would be the place that matri takes place in the Mishkan. And the question is, what's the exact situation that Rava is discussing? Why exactly were they engaging in the malach of matir in this situation? Satosos points out that we have machlokes between Rashi versus Rabbeinu Hananel on this issue. So let's go through the two shitas in Tosos, which are going to have very different perspectives on the malacha of matir. Starting with the shita of Rashi. Rashi says like this, that the exact case that Rava is proposing is like this, that maybe when they were constructing the Irios, as we said, there'd be two knots that would be formed in close proximity to one another. And, you know, keeping in mind that the strings of the Irios, they're very, very thick strings. There were a lot of threads that went into each string. And so if you have two knots in close proximity, it is very unseemly. It's not going to look very nice. You have two big knots that are protruding. And so what they would do is, says Rashi, they would untie one of the knots. They would simply untie one of the knots and just leave the threads hanging, because that'll look nicer. Rather than having two knots that are jutting out next to each other, if you just untie one of them, we'll have a small hole and you'll have some threads hanging, but it's better than having two knots in close proximity. That is how Rashi explains the proposal of Rava. Now comes along Tosfos, and he says that Ofi Rashi, we can now be Medayik, Rashi Shito, on the Shaila of Matir Almanats. Because in this situation, when you're untying, Rashi is saying, once again, you have two knots in close proximity. We're untying one of the knots just to make it look nicer, to make the Mishkan look nicer. Now, this act of untying is not being done for the sake of retying. You're not untying this knot in order to retie it. You're just untying it because it looks nice. Instead of having two knots, it's better to have one knot in a small hole with some hanging threads. It doesn't look as bad as two knots in close proximity. So therefore, we untie one of the knots. So says Tosis is Mashma from Rashi. The Rashi is taking a stance in our Fakira here, that Malachas Matir does not need to specifically be done for the sake of retying. Rather, any productive activity of untying is subject to Malachas Matir. So that is Shita number one, the Shita of Rashi on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, with the added Diyuk of Tosfos, that Rashi is having a certain interpretation which lends to a certain shot in the Malacha of Matir. Fine. Moving over to the Shita of Rabbi Chananel. So Tosfos now points out that Rabbi Chananel had a different interpretation of this Gemara, which is going to lead to a very different understanding of Malachas Matir. Rabbi Chananel says that the case of Rava is like this, that really what would happen is when they were constructing the Irios and they were weaving the Irios, a single string would snap in two places. It would snap once, it would snap a second time, and they would tie two knots to maintain a continuous thread. You have a string and 5 inches it snaps. You have to tie a knot so you can keep weaving that string. And then 10 inches later, it snaps again, and you tie a second knot. So you have two knots on a single string in order to maintain a continuous thread. That is the starting point. And so what Rava is saying is as follows. And maybe in this situation, when a single string would become snapped two times and knotted twice, in order to make it look a little bit nicer, instead of having two knots, what they would do is as follows. They would untie both of the knots, discard that middle piece of string that was tied on two ends, get rid of it, and take the two outer strings and tie them with a single knot. So if you have this situation where there were two knots on that string, which snapped twice, if you untie both knots and discard the middle piece, you can reattach the outer strings with a single knot. And instead of having two knots, we now have one knot. So that's how we're going to make the Mishkan look nicer, by untying both strings in order to discard the middle part and reattach the outer strings. So that is now Rabbi Chananel's explanation of this piece of Gemara. So comes along Tosas now and makes the Diyakin of Rabbi Chananel. He says that according to the Rach, this Gemara is indeed discussing a case of Matir Almanas Likshor. We're discussing a case of untying for the sake of retying. We're untying the two knots in order to retie the two outer strings. So according to Rabbi Chananel's Mashma, that the Malacha of Matir does need to specifically be done for the sake of retying in order to be Chayim. So taking a step back now, we're now being Medayik and Machlokas, we've shown him on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis with respect to the Malacha of Matir. Does Malacha of Matir need to specifically be done for the sake of retying or not? Machlokas Rashi versus Rabbi Chananel. Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, where you're just untying one of the knots to make the Mishkan look nicer, shows us that Rashi does not need to untie for the sake of retying. Whereas according to Rabbi Chananel, his interpretation was they were untying the knots to retie the strings together. He had a case of Matir Amanas Likshor. So we now have a Machlokas Rishonim regarding the Malacha of Matir. Any questions? We good? Okay. Fine. Now, before we start the analysis of this Machlokas, let's just point out that there are more Rishonim on both sides of this Machlokas. Just to emphasize, in terms of the Shita of Rashi, so the Achronim Medayik that the Rambam also holds like approach number one, that the Rambam does not require the Malacha of Matir to be done for any specific purpose. Any productive act of untying is going to be Chayiv. So the Rambam is in the Rashi camp. And the Rush says explicitly, like Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rush says explicitly that the Malach of Matir does need to be done for the sake of retying. So we're pointing out now that there are more Rishonim here in the fray. We have Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam versus Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rush. Does the Malach of Matir need to be done for the specific reason of Almanas Likshur for the sake of retying, as Rashi and the Rechananel say, or can it be done for any productive purposes, the Rambam and Rashi are holding? And the question is, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the different Shittos in this Machlokas? Yeah, Daniel.
I'm just curious, is this a local Machlokas vis-a-vis Matir about it, whether or not it requires Almanas?
Okay.
Or
that's exactly what we're going to discuss right now, 100%. We're going to discuss right now. Okay. Still wants us to move along. Okay. okay. So we're going to present there's a beautiful analysis of the Hari Kedem on this Machlokas, but let's first just set things up a little bit to, you know, move in the direction of the Hesber, this Machlokas. As I alluded to a little while ago, this issue of Almanas is really an ongoing issue that comes up with respect to a select few malachos in the Mishnah, by the malacha of Mochek. The Mishnah presents it as erasing for the sake of writing. By Koraya, tearing for the sake of resowing. By Soser, Tosis brought up the issue of Soser Almanas Livnos. So we're seeing that there are a few malachos in the Mishnah that are being presented or being understood, as we've shown them, as potentially requiring a specific purpose to do it Almanas. That's what we're seeing. Now, if you follow the Chaburis here, you realize that we've had an ongoing Machlokas Rishonim with regard to the different Malachos, if they do need to be done Almanas, or if they don't need to be done Almanas. So just starting with the Shita of the Rambam consistently, by all these Malachos, never requires Almanas. The Rambam by Mochek had held that any productive act of erasing is subject to Malachos Mochek. You do not need to do it Almanas. By the Malacha of Korea, the Rambam holds that any productive act of tearing is subject to Malachas Korea. You don't have to do it for the sake of resowing in order to be chayav. So the Rambam Bayas is consistently l'shitaso, he's perfectly l'shitaso. Matir is no exception to the rule. The Rambam never needs a Malacha to be done for the sake of redoing in order to be chayav. Any time you do a Malacha for productive purposes, it's perfectly chayav. So by Matir as well, if you untie for productive purposes, that's perfectly chayav. The Rambam is consistently l'shitaso. On the other hand, just to emphasize the shita of the Rush is consistent on the other side of this chakira. He consistently does require a rigid almanas. The Achronim understand in the Rush, when it comes to the malach of mochek, you need to specifically erase for the sake of writing in order to be chayiv. You can't do any act of erasing. You dafka need mochek almanas lichtu. So when the Rush in Arsugi is now holding that matir also needs to be done almanas lichshor, we're also seeing consistency in the Shita of the Rush. So what we're pointing out is that there's an ongoing debate throughout the different malachos. Do we have a concept of a rigid almanas? You always need to do it for a specific purpose, or is it always lav dafka? The Rambam always lav dafka, he never cares about almanas. Whereas we're seeing in the Rush consistency that by matir, by mochek, he's always needing this rigid almanas. Now that's a machlokas that does need some analysis, but for the sake of time, we're gonna put that issue on the side, and we're just going to point out that that's an ongoing debate, which we're seeing consistency in, and we'll leave it at that. But the big issue that we're going to be addressing on a conceptual level, which is going to have some very interesting insights, is the sheet of Rashi and Tosfos. See, Rashi and Tosfos seem to have a little bit of a stira. On the one hand, by the Malach of Mochek and by the Malach of Korea, so especially Tosfos and also Pashas and Rashi, they do require a rigid almanas. Especially, I'll emphasize the sheet of Tosos. Tosos by Mochek and by Korea holds that they need to specifically be done for a specific purpose. Mochek needs to specifically be done to rewrite. The Malacha of Korea specifically needs to be done to resow. That is the sheet of Tosos and it's also the Pashtos in Rashi. Yet, when we come to the Malacha of Matir, all of a sudden Tosos is posing a Shaila. Do we need Almanas? Do we not need Almanas? He's raising a question. If Matir is the same, or if perhaps Matir is different. And Rashi also, by Matir, doesn't need Almanas. You do not need to untie for the sake of retying. So we have a little bit of a steer now in the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of Tosos. In general, when it comes to the list in the Mishnah of Almanas, they need a specific Almanas. You need to specifically erase to rewrite, to sew, to tear, to resew. Yet all of a sudden, by Malachas Matir, Tosfos now poses a shaila. Does it need to be done for the sake of retying? Does it not to be done? Need to be done for the sake of retying? The question is, what's the hesber behind this, these shittos and the Rishonim? And why should Matir be different than the other Malachos? What are the two tzadim in the Safik of Tosfos? That's the issue that we're going to address. Okay. So the Rav in the Hari Kedem has a beautiful analysis of this machlokas. That's what we're going to present. He says like this, that in order to be mazur with this machlokas, we now need to take a step back and address what Daniel was touching on and just set down a preliminary yesod in order to analyze this machlokas. As we're pointing out, so there's a whole school of Rishonim that hold that a number of the malachos in the Mishka, in the Mishnah, need to be done for a specific purpose of almanats. You need to specifically erase for the sake of writing in order to be chayav. You need to specifically tear for the sake of sewing in order to be chayav. Now, the question becomes, before we get to Matir, but focusing on the malachos that definitely do need an almanats, where is this halacha coming from? Why do we require the malacha of mochek to be done specifically to rewrite? Why do we require the malacha of Kareya to specifically be done to Rizal? What is it about these malachos and the malacha of Soser, let's say, Almanas Livnos, that requires the special halacha of Almanas? Why do you need to do it for a specific purpose in order to be chayv? That's the preliminary issue that needs to be addressed. So anyone want to make a suggestion? What is it about these malachos? Can anyone see a certain commonality that these malachos have in common that can set up this possibility, this requirement for Almanas? Zoom, anyone on Zoom here have a
yes.
From Florida.
Yeah, thank you. So there, some of these malachos, they seem like they are really more of an undoing than a doing.
Okay.
So that might make them intrinsically weaker.
Beautiful, excellent. So the Josh is mechavin to the Tver Shmuel and the Kilos Yaakov. The Achronim emphasize that this is, as Josh has pointed out, these malachos all have the commonality of being intrinsically destructive. They're all doing activities that are intrinsically destructive. When I do mochek, I'm erasing something. By korea, I'm tearing something. Soser, I'm destroying a building. They're all activities that are intrinsically destructive. Now, we know that the whole essence of the Isra Malacha is about productivity. It's about doing constructive, productive activity. So these Rishonim are going to hold that the only way these Malachos can make sense as productive Malachos is if we add the addition of almanats. Because without the almanats, they're all doing destructive activities. They don't make sense as malachos. How can you say destroying a building? How can you say tearing is a malacha? It's intrinsically destructive. If we modify the definition, if we require them to be done almanats, so now we're turning them into productive activities. We're turning them into the first stage of recreating a certain object. When I require mochek almanas lechto, if I have to erase dafka to rewrite, so then that erasing is no longer destructive. It's the first stage in recreating exact. I first have to erase it to rewrite it. I first have to tear. If I'm tearing in order to resell, well, then that act of tearing, don't view it as a destructive activity. View that as the first stage in resewing and reproducing this garment. I need to tear it in order to mend it so I can resew it. So by introducing almanas into the definition, we're converting it from a destructive act to a productive activity. I'm taking this destructive act and I'm putting it into a process of recreating something. I'm destroying it just to recreate it. I'm tearing it to resew it. I'm destroying it to remake the building. That's that first stage in the process, since I'm putting it into an almanas process, now becomes productive. So that's the basic lumdis behind these Rishonim, this whole school of Rishonim that have this concept of almanas, that these select malachos need to be done for a specific purpose. Where is it coming from? It's coming from, as Josh had said, they're all malachas kilkel. They're all destructive malachos. Since they're all destructive, we need the almanas to convert them into productive activities. By having the almanas, they're now the first stage in recreating something. That's productive. You have to just knock it down so you can renovate. It's just part of the process of renovation. It's recreating. It's now productive. That's the preliminary yesod that we need to kick off the piece of the Hare Kedah. Now, based on that yesod, we can now move over to the malacha of Matir, and now we have the understanding of how to start breaking down malachas Matir. We have this issue. Tosfos is raising a shaila now, as opposed to Kareya and Mochek, which definitely need an almanas. He's Masupik, does Mochek need almanas? Do you need to untie for the sake of retying? or perhaps you don't need to untie for the sake of retying. Any productive untying will be chai. What's the hesber behind the shayla of Tosas, says the Harei Kadem? The question is going to be, is malachas matir considered to be intrinsically destructive? If we consider the act of untying to be intrinsically destructive, well, then this fits into the class of malachas kilkel, and we need the almanaz to make it productive. We're going to have to untie for the sake of retying, so this can be called a productive activity. But if we don't view untying as a destructive activity, well, then it's there's nothing destructive about this. We don't need that almanaz. The almanaz was only needed by the malachas kilkel, by the destructive malachos. We need the almanaz. But if matir is not called destructive, then we don't need any special almanaz. That's going to be the starting point of that is the starting point of the Harei Kadem in breaking down the shayla of Tosfos. And now the question becomes, so what's the hesber in that shayla? Should we consider matir to be intrinsically destructive? Should we not consider matir to be intrinsically destructive? That's the shayla that we now need to pose. So anyone want to go for the gold here and be mechavim to the Harei Kadem? What's the hesber in this machlokas on a conceptual level, whether untying is destructive or not? Elliot. That what? Okay, so Ellie's bringing up a very good point from last week. I'm always afraid that people don't remember after a few days, you know? So can anyone give us more internal analysis to this, to the shayla? Yassis?
Does it have to do with matir being not permanent?
That's exactly what Ellie just said.
Oh, I said
it's a beautiful, no, it's a very beautiful analysis. I didn't repeat it because it's getting into last week. It's a very, very nice analysis, but I'm looking for something more internal just for the newcomers here. Mordechai.
Perhaps you could say, when you look at the tosah, whether the end result is what defines the malacha, or is it the action itself, the maisa that brings it?
Okay, so Mordechai just gave a beautiful analysis. I'm going to reformulate what he said in the terms of the Harei Kadem. Excellent. But not Lafuke, Eli, and Yassis. That was also very good, but this is just more internal analysis. Yeah, okay, fine. So the Rav says like this, that this issue is going to come down to a basic hakira in terms of how do we assess whether you're considered to be a destructive malacha. We set down this principle that if you're a destructive malacha, then it needs to be done almanas in order to be recharacterized as productive. If you're not destructive, then you don't need to be done almanas. The question is, how do we gauge whether you're considered to be destructive or not destructive? So the Harei Kadem says that there's a basic hakira that we compose, which is going to produce this nafkamina of malachas matir. So the hakira goes like this. One possibility is to understand that we assess whether you're destructive or not based on the impact on the materials. Every malacha is operating on a certain object, is operating on certain materials. And it could be we assess whether you're destructive or not based on whether you're destroying the materials that you're operating on. Are you destroying the cheftza of the malacha? Are you destroying the object? Or are you not destroying the object? So for example, by malachas mochik. Mochik is operating on ink and parchment. You have some ink and parchment, and those are the materials that you're operating on, and you're removing some of the ink. So you're destroying some of these materials, so to speak. You're destroying the ink. That's a destructive malacha. By malacha of koreya, you're tearing. You have this perfectly good piece of clothing. You're tearing it. You're destroying these materials. And so that's called a destructive malacha. So that's one possibility for how we can assess whether your malacha is kilkel or not. Maybe we look at your impact on the cheftza of the malacha, the materials that you're operating on. Are you damaging the materials or are you not damaging the materials? Now, let's just go right into the plug-in on this first side before we get to the second side of the hakira. If we work with the first side in the hakira, if we say that we assess the malacha's kilkel based on how it impacts on the materials or the chevtza of the malacha, so what do we say by malacha's matir? When you untie a string, are you having any detrimental effect on materials? What's the chevtza of the malacha? What's the materials that's being operated on when you engage in the malacha of untying? You're operating on a string. A string was knotted, and you're operating by untying this knot. Are you having any destructive effect on that string, on the chevtza of the malacha, the string, the raw material that is being operated on? Is there any detrimental effect on the string itself? Says the Rav, no, there is not. You're not damaging the string. all you're doing is reconfiguring. The string was configured in a certain formation. It was in the form of a knot. You're reconfiguring it by undoing the knot. You're not damaging the string in any way whatsoever. So if we go with the first side in the Chakira, if we assess the Malacha's Kilkel based on the materials, what's your impact on the Chefza of the Malacha, the object you're operating on, by Matir, all you're doing is reconfiguring. You're not actually damaging anything. That would not be a Malacha's Kilkel. So one side in the Suffolk of Toso is that Matir is different than the other Malachos. Why would Matir be different than Korea and Soser, let's say? The answer is because by Matir, if we make the assessment based on the materials, it's just reconfiguring. It's not destroying. That's not called the Malacha's Kilkel. So that's one side in the Chakir. Let me just finish the Chakir before we take the questions. Moving over to the second side in the Chakir, says the Rav, he says something very beautiful. He says that there's another way of assessing whether you're a Malacha's Kilkel or not, which is going to explain the other side in Tosis' Safi. And that is to say, maybe we assess whether you're destructive or not, not based on the materials, but based on whether you're undoing an accomplishment. Josh had used the Slashim before of undoing. Maybe we have to look at the Malacha and ask, are you undoing an accomplishment? See, by the Malacha of Mochek, so what are you doing there when you erase? You're undoing a ksiva. We had in front of us, ink on parchment, we had a ksav, we had a writing. Now there's an entire Malacha dedicated to producing that ksav. The Malacha of Kosev is dedicated to producing a ksiva. A ksiva is a certain productive accomplishment. When you erase this ksiva, you're undoing an accomplishment. You're undoing a ksav, you're undoing a writing. That is why it's a destructive Malacha. You can view it as being destructive because you're undoing an accomplishment. By the Malacha of Korea, so what's happening by Korea? I have a garment. I'm ripping a garment. Now, before I rip that garment, this garment is also a certain accomplishment. I had to engage in the Malacha of Topher to produce this garment. The whole Malacha of Topher is dedicated to sewing this garment. There's a certain productive object in front of me. When I tear it, I'm undoing the effects of Malacha's Topher. I'm undoing the accomplishment of Malacha's Topher. So this is a second perspective for how we should gauge the Malacha's Kilkel. How do we assess whether you're destructive or not? We ask ourselves, are you undoing an accomplishment? By the Malacha of Mochet, you're undoing the effects of Malacha's Kosev. By the Malacha of Korea, you're undoing the effects of Malacha's Topher. Says the Rav, if we take the second side in the Chakira, now Malacha's Matir comes out differently. Because by Malacha's Matir, when I untie, I'm undoing the effects of Malacha's Kosher. When I have in front of me a knot is a productive accomplishment. The Malacha of Kosher was dedicated to producing that knot. When you produce that knot, you violate a Malacha's Kosher. If I now untie that knot, I'm undoing the accomplishment of Malacha's Kosher. So although the string itself is not being destroyed, I'm just reconfiguring, but if from the perspective of the accomplishment, I'm undoing the accomplishment of Malacha's Kosher, from that perspective, it will be a destructive Malacha. So says the Rav, that's the pshat in the other side in Tosis' Safek. Why did Tosis think that maybe Malacha's Matir should meet to be Amanas, that it should be a destructive Malacha? From the perspective of the accomplishment, it's undoing the effects of Malacha's Kosher. It is a destructive Malacha. So that is the beautiful analysis of the Hari Kedem in explaining this Machlokis. In a certain sense, it's really putting together a number of the Malachos that we learned over the last few months. We did Mochek and Korea, and now we're doing Matir, and we're really waiting for Matir to put it all together. The Rav is giving us a very beautiful construct here to how to understand the conceptual level, what's going on these Machloksim. We started out with our basic Yesod here that there's a concept of Malachas Kilkel. There's a class of Malachos that are destructive Malachos that some Rishonim hold need to be done al-menas to define them as being productive. The Shaila by Matir is Matir considered to be a Malachas Kilkel? Is not a Malachas Kilkel. And it comes down to a Chakira. How do we assess whether you're destructive or not? If you focus on the materials, are you destroying the materials? By Korea, by Soser, by Mochek, you're destroying something. You're destroying a building, you're destroying a ksav, you're destroying a piece of garment. Not so by Matir. You're not destroying the string, you're reconfiguring it. But if you focus on the accomplishment, in all these cases, you're undoing an accomplishment. I'm undoing a binyan, I'm undoing a ksiva, I'm undoing a kesher. And so from that perspective, Malachas Matir would be a destructive Malacha. Okay, any questions?
We might say, well, say Al-Manas, whatever that second one, but always has to do back to the first point. Back to that, the first part of the Malacha, back to kosher, back to Ksiva.
So what's the question again exactly?
So the second one, the
second side of Chakira, you're not so you're troubled by?
It's more logical.
Oh, you like the second side better?
I'm saying, well, Mike, you're doing this Al-Manas,
Time's a little short, but you don't mind, just time's a little short. But Dov is saying you're undoing an accomplishment and all this. Okay, Dov likes the second side of the chikir. I'm going to, let's just move on for the sake of time. Fine. So with that, we've concluded our discussion of Melachas Matir. I just want to spend the last few minutes rounding out our whole discussion of kosher and matir by going through a few quick shilas, which we didn't get to in the past. So let's just run through a few quick shilas now that we've learned it all kehilchasa, just to get some of the halacha ma'aseh down. Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick bottom line synopsis of the two bottom line rules for the those who have, I guess, clearer skin, who follow the Psak Derimah. There are two basic halachas that govern the permissibility of tying a knot on Shabbos. Halacha number one, in terms of halacha ma'aseh, is that it's never permissible to tie a knot for anything longer than a short period of time. Any knot always needs to be tied for a short period of time, which typically means 24 hours. Typically speaking, any kesher is only permissible if it's within 24 hours. Beyond that, it's prohibited. Shach hadchak, you have up till 7 days, but typically it's 24 hours. Rule number two is that it's never permissible to tie a professional knot, a ma'is uman. It always has to be an amateur knot. So you have to tie an amateur knot within 24 hours in order to be permissible. So that's just the background rule for the halacha ma'isa that we'll keep in mind now as we go through the following shilas. Fine, so shila number one. What is the halacha with regard to tying your shoes on Shabbos? You take your two laces, you do a single crossover, then you tie a bow on top. So what is the halacha in this situation? Okay, so for anyone who remembers from 2 weeks ago, we had a machlokas rishonim as to if this is considered to be a kesher or not. This is called the naniva agabi kesher. I have a crossover followed by a bow. Machlokas between the agar versus the Mordechai, if this is considered to be a problem or not. Now, 2 weeks ago, I didn't get a chance to get to halacha lemaisa, so now we're going to bring this down to halacha, and there's a big, interesting debate between the Ramah and the Nosei Kalim. Starting with the Ramah, so the Ramah brings down the shita of the agar that is perfectly permissible to do an aniva agabi kesher. This is not considered to be a kesher bechlal. If you do a crossover followed by a bow, which is what we do with our shoes, it is perfectly permissible. So says the Ramah. It's bringing down the agar. Come along all the Nosei Kalim, and they jump on the Ramah from the Mordechai. The Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, they emphasize the shita of the Mordechai, that this type of configuration, a crossover with a bow on top, they say, the Mordechai says is a problem. So therefore, they all feel that this should be treated as an amateur knot. So although the Ramah had brought down the Agar, but all the Nosei Kalim are not accepting it. They're all arguing like the Mordechai that this should be treated like an amateur knot. So therefore, halach lamaisa, the bow knot, as it's called, the crossover followed by a bow, is considered to be an amateur knot, which means it has to be tied within 24 hours. If a person typically ties his shoes within 24 hours, I mean unties it within 24 hours, then it is permissible to tie. If a person does not typically tie a shoe, does not typically untie it within 24 hours, so then it becomes problematic. So that's in terms of tying your shoes on Shabbos. Now, what about doing what we call a double knot, meaning to say that you take your laces, you cross it over one time, then you make one bow, and then you make another bow on top of that. What's the halacha with making a double knot with your shoelaces? So here we have machlokes between the Orech Shabbos,
a double bow.
I'm speaking in slang, in street language here, but professionally, you can call it a double bow if you want to call it. You cross over, and you make one bow, and then you cross that bow over again. So whatever you want to call that, what's the halacha in that situation? So we have machlokes between the Orech Shabbos versus the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. The Orech Shabbos says that this is perfectly permissible. There's no issue whatsoever. It's no different than a single bow, meaning it still has to be within 24 hours. You can't double bow it if it's more than 24 hours, but within 24 hours, it is perfectly permissible. And Shmuel Kamenetsky also is makel on the Shaila, is perfectly permissible to double bow your shoes. However, however, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa is machmir, and he says that this is to be treated as a double knot, meaning two crossovers, which he says is only mutter b'shas hatzorah. So if there's a tzorah, he says, like for kids, then it's mutter to do a double bow. But if there's no tzorah, then it is prohibited. So that's all in terms of shoelaces. We're pointing out shoelaces is treated as an amateur knot lahalacha, which means that it's only mutter if it's within 24 hours. And with double bowing is machlokas aposkim, or cheshabbos and Shmuel Kamenetsky or mekel, whereas the Shmir Shabbos Kelchaza says you can all be mekel b'shas hatzorach, like for kids. Fine. So that was all shayla number one. I apologize for going quickly here, but if Rabbi Libus can do this in 10 minutes, then we'll call it 4 minute halacha here. Yeah, fine. Shayla number two. The what about? So let's go over to 1 second. Let's discuss the lulav. Let's say fine. So what about halacha in terms of a lulav, the dalaminim on sukkahs? The in Tafresh Nanalf, so the Shulchan Aruch on Yontif, yeah, the Tafresh Nanalf, so starting from the beginning, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that there's a mitzvah to tie together the lulav hadasim and the aravos. There's a mitzvah to tie them together, and the Shulchan Aruch says that it actually should be, you should tie a kesher gomer, a double knot, meaning you wind around it, tie one time, and then cross it over a second time. You should really tie a double kesher, says the Shulchan Aruch. The question is, what if you forget before Shabbos to make that double kesher, and or yontif, pro yontif, and now comes yontif. So you didn't tie together your three minim, and you want to fulfill this mitzvah of the Shulchan Aruch. What should you do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you should tie a bow. You should tie a bow. A bow is perfectly permissible. As we saw 2 weeks ago, an aniva is perfectly permissible. You should tie a bow. That's what the Shulchan Aruch recommends. Says the Ramah, that he says the minhag is to take your strap, let's say your lulav strip, and just wrap it around. Keep wrapping it around and then tuck it in the sides. So says the Ramah that the minhag is to take your strip of your lulav, whatever that, you know, that leaf that you're going to tie around it, wrap it around it, and tie in the sides. So we have two solutions here for our lulav. Either we should tie a bow, or we take a strip and wrap it around and tuck in the sides. The question becomes as follows. What about taking your that strap, doing a single crossover, and then tucking in the sides? What's the halacha with doing a single crossover and tucking in the sides? Now, this isn't just a question by Hilchos Lulav, it's a question in Melechus Kosher in general. If you take a string, you do a single crossover and tuck in the sides, what's the halacha? So this is a machlokes between the Munkach Rebbe versus the Tzitz Eliezer. The Munkach Rebbe holds that this is called an amateur knot, that if you make a single crossover and then you tuck in the sides, that is an amateur knot, which is not allowed to be tied for more than 24 hours. So let's say on Sukkis with our Gimel Minim here, if I tie a single crossover and then tuck in the sides, says the Munkach Rebbe, that is going to be a problem, because since on Sukkis it's typically tied for more than 24 hours, therefore this is prohibited. That is not a good solution. However, the Tzitz Eliezer argues, and he says that this is perfectly permissible, that a single crossover and then tucking in the sides is perfectly permissible, and therefore that would also be a viable solution by the Gimel Minim. So that was all just to round out some of the practical shilas of Melechus Kosher. We did the shoelaces and we did the shila of the Gimel Minim. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and I guess have a Ksivah Chesima Tova. Shkaya. Yeah. Shkaya. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shkaya. Shabbos. Shkaya.